The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com. The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFRP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online.
So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. I once had a conversation with a dolphin. You could say we just clicked. She got a good one. That was actually a good one.
The Dr. D on the mic. Soup stirring up hot takes. This ain't casually anymore. We're live on a hot sheet. Let's go.
This is your host, Dita. She's still laughing. This is your host, Dita, Dr. D, reaching out to the super free, or the super vision free source of net running Arachne. We are joined today by a very special guest, Audrey, who is the social media manager for Monster Fight Club, the corporate overlords that make this game. How are you doing, Audrey?
Oh, that is right. That is right. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there.
Love to hear that. And Mike's here too. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey.
Okay. Today on Arachne, we're going to be talking about just Audrey and what it's like working with Monster Fight Club and the associated other companies, which like Palos Orion, who are in charge of the IP, at least a little bit. And we're probably going to make fun of Matt some and probably John.
Aww. I know. They're sweethearts.
They really are. But first, we're going to talk about our patrons. Thank you very much to these very specific people who have signed up at the Digital Nomads here to help keep this show running. It is literally impossible to do the show without you. So Cyril S., Derek S., Quinn B., Nick B., and Aleph did nothing wrong. Thank you very much for giving us your financial support as well as your verbal support, even though most of the time when you talk, you're making fun of me. That's okay. I don't take it personally. It just means that when I take showers, not all the water is coming out of the faucet. Sometimes it's coming from my eyeball. Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. If you would like to support the network, please sign up at our Patreon or purchase on SwaggyStreamlabs.com. I'm personally sponsored by Monument Hobbies. You know, the people that make really good paint. They just made some new stuff that came out at Japicon. There's 18, I think, of them new. I've used some of them on the Twitch stream. They're very, very good. So if you want to get those because you're a very, very good painter using very, very good paints, you should use the code Professional Casual. Check out to get yourself a swanky discount. Baron Flash is making some really cool dice. They're going to be making dice for Blood and Plunder very soon. I don't know when. I don't know the exact date, but they're going to eventually. And we're going to start making more Blood and Plunder, make better content. So thank you very much. Use the code Arachne. Get yourself 5% discount. And don't forget Missouri's about to square outside. Mythic America tournament starting on May 31st, the starter box tournament. I'm not able to go there because of work. I'm sorry if you're there waiting to meet me. I'm sorry I was going to be there, but now I'm not. And then there's going to be a Mythic America tournament on August 2nd and November 22nd at Gen Con and PAX Unplugged. And there is a satellite Infinity event, which by the time this episode comes out, depending on when it comes out, it might already be over, but it happens on April 26th and 27th at the Welton Riverside Spa Hotel in Riga, Latvia, which is my birthday. So happy birthday, me, and also happy birthday, Latvia, even though I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's
what it is now. Is. It's their birthday.
Oh, well, happy early birthday.
Thank you. It's the new canon event. That's when Latvia was formed, because I'm on my birthday. Also, the birthday of Ulysses S. Grant, which is more interesting.
And Wilmar's birthday.
And it's also Wilmar's birthday. If you want to get that joke and all the other weird jokes we make on here, you probably want to go to the Twitch stream, which is Professional Casual Network, which we do every Sunday and Monday and most Thursdays at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time if you want to hang out with us and watch me paint while you meticulously mock. Anyway, we are here to talk about Audrey. Audrey! You work for Monster Fight Club, which are responsible, in a good way, for the Cyberpunk Combat Zone game and other things that I'm sure will come up. But you guys are also responsible for the Borderlands game. You are responsible for Witcher game that is not quite out yet, but it is coming. And a lot of very, very good brain.
Yeah, we already have some models out for the Witcher line. That was for Artelsorian's RPG. But just like we had started with Combat Zone from the RPG line and progressed to making a skirmish game, there will be a skirmish game coming for Witcher.
Ooh.
Which yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be good. If it's anything less. Oh.
So. Yeah, it is. It's I am very excited for it.
And as we always do, whenever we have a guest on the show, we like to talk about nerd origin stories. So, Audrey, you are no different. Audrey, when is your nerd origin start?
Well, ever since I was little, I have been a massive fan of all things like fantasy, Star Wars, Star Trek. Like that is, I was born in the 80s and definitely lived it up in the 90s, loving all that nerdy shit. But yeah, no, I 80s action flicks. That is definitely me. My first job was actually at a children's museum. I was a art coordinator and activities. And then from there, I was like worked at a tattoo shop. I met one of my greatest friends who introduced me to John Kowalewski, who at the time was the owner of Gale Force 9. And he was so impressed that I came in for my interview in the snow that I got the job. And I thrived there. I loved it. I got to do amazing stuff with Gale Force 9. And I got to work with Sean Swagger, who is also a mastermind of Gale Force 9, Lizzie Willick and Jason Buyaki, who are incredible terrain builders. They would do all that really cool. Just, it's amazing. You can still see their work today in Gale Force 9's terrain packs and stuff. And then Aaron Dill, who is Jolly Lark, also worked with us at that time as Gale Force 9, and then also for a brief time as Monster Fight Club. And you can find all his art stuff on his channels on YouTube. It's just it was a time, and it was very exciting to be working there. Then John ended up selling the company, and I went on to do other things. The best thing was when one of my positions was closing its doors and John called me up like 2 days later, was like, how about you come back and work for me? And I was like, oh, there's a bear shit in the woods. Fuck yeah. So I was like, I'm on my way. And so I came back and it was just, I've been there ever since.
So I knew John was a big factor for, you know, Force 9. Is he one of the founders?
Oh, yeah. No. John was Gale Force 9, and he's the one who does the, you know, created Star Trek Ascendancy, Spartacus, the board game. There's wrestling board games and stuff that he did. There's a lot. God, I can't even like
a resume.
He does. I mean, working with John is always hectic and always a treat. I mean, the man is just constantly creating, constantly coming up with new stuff and like showing you all of these really cool gadgets that he's done. And you're just like, that's amazing. You know, like, I need to finish writing this, but that's amazing. I want to come play with that now. And you're like, but I have to finish my art for this post.
Yeah, Gale Force 9 and also Monster Fight Club, I have to say. I think of it when I, like, originally, I see the terrain.
Yes.
Like, the man knows terrain.
Yes.
The man knows how to build a board.
It is absolutely amazing watching him think critically about all the uses for our terrain. It's not just, oh, let me build this rock to be a rock. No, it's when he's creating a range, it's how do these pieces actually all work together? How can I make it so that they actually stack to take up less space for everybody? It's really fascinating to see him think of those things and things that you didn't even think of. Or sometimes, hey, I get to put some like suggestions in there and sometimes they get used. Like the other teammates get that too. And that's what I absolutely love is he's not beyond asking the entire team, no matter what your position is, what do you think? And even our fans, he goes out to our Discord all the time and says, what do you think of this? What would improve it? And I love that we really do take the feedback of our monsters seriously.
I gotta say, it makes me somewhat upset in spaghetti, knowing that every single time I see Monster Fight Club Terrain, I'm like, I really wish I had those. I really wish I had some of this.
Oh,
realizing that he's already been getting me because I love Battlefield in a box. That son of a gun has been torturing me my entire young adult life. What a jerk hole.
He knows the way into our wallet.
Yeah, really. Mike, have you actually bought any of the Battlefield in a box stuff?
I think I did in the past. My previous game store had like two sets of them, and we used it all the time.
I think my most famous board that I built for Infinity, my Crash Spaceship board, all of the stuff outside of the spaceship is Gale Force 9.
Oh, you're right.
That's all Battlefield. Like, that's son of a gun. He's like, it's like he's a part of us. He's inside my heart.
This whole time, he was always there. Watching
you know what?
Us.
It's like they say, it's not, you know, what you do in your entire journey. It's the terrain you buy along the way. You know what?
Mm. John's and talking. I can tell you, Monster Fight Club stuff will be there when you're gone.
Yes, it will. It's already in my house now, so it's the slow process has begun. So you used to work at a tattoo shop.
Yeah.
What were you? Were you like the front desk person, or did you?
Yes. Yeah. So I was the shop girl slash hand holder. Oh yeah. And I would also give some advice, you know, because people would be like, "Hey, what do you think? What, you know, color?" And I would help people kind of pick the flash or pick what they were trying to design. And of course, then they would also talk to the tattoo artist. But it was just one of those things where, if the tattoo artist didn't feel like listening to someone yammer at them, that was me. I would take on that burden.
So that put you in a perfect position to be John's sounding board.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I am the community handholder, and yeah, that's what I do.
So overall, what is it like working with John, who just seems to be like a hurricane of mad creativity?
Oh yeah. That's actually pretty accurate. Hurricane. He is a whirlwind all the time. Projects are just whipping across your table and you are cranking them out. We're always busy. There's no downtime. It's funny. We are always working on all of the IPs at once, but you know, some get a lot more shine time at certain times. And then others, and I try and balance it out. And John tries to balance it out. But you know, it's like, it's whatever is current that we're trying to push, and we've got new stuff coming. That's what we'll really focus in on. But yeah, working with him, it's exciting. And like I said earlier, the getting to be a part of the creative design, even though I'm social media, is just so much fun. And it's exciting to look back on the products, and getting to be part of that creative design only helps me further be able to promote it when it has come time to announce it to the public. So that's,
you got like skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And you know exactly what this product can and can't do.
What's a creative design that you got to put an input in that they put out?
So the one that I can remember the most is actually back in Gale Force 9. We briefly made these invisibility markers before we had closed, or he sold the company. And it was for, I believe, WizKids or something, but it was D&D, and it was these smoky silhouettes, and I got to draw all the silhouettes for these invisibility markers that were sold. And I still to this day am so proud of that and that they just like let me run wild with it. I can't really tell you about some of the ones that I'm currently working on and doing, but you know, like there's things like, well, the operations manager and I, Adriana, will talk about things and suggests like, oh, doing alt poses and stuff like that. And then, you know, pushing things because we get a lot of the community tickets in. We listen.
You're the middle ground between the people and the patriarchs. You're the middle manager of the stuff that comes out.
You got to deal with us.
Yeah, all the stinky nerds.
She's like the real people.
So obviously you get to mingle. You get to rub shoulders with some very very big IPs. Cyberpunk and Witcher being probably and Borderlands is also a very well known one.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like working with, in the case of Artel, of Talosaurian especially, what's it like working with some of these like titans in the RPG industry?
Yeah, working with them is really just a joy because you can tell that they really love their brand, their IP. It's their babies. And, you know, you gotta respect it and you gotta, you know, do it justice. So I really, from me who I really love branding and marketing as well, that holding true to their IPs and making sure that we follow it as closely as possible as well. Especially in how we market it and how it looks and comes out. I'm a big advocate for that. So getting to talk to these guys in meetings, and hearing their wishes, I definitely try and make sure we stick on that. But also I feel like Jay Gray and Mike Pondsmith can feel me coming from a mile away at a, you know, at a convention. Cause I'm like, here I come to ask more lore questions and stuff because I absolutely adore lore. So yeah, I'm always reading the Danger Gal dossier that they put out and just soaking up all those little tidbits so that I can drop, you know, little knowledge bombs on our monsters when I meet them at booths. And it's just, yeah, I like getting to hear firsthand about stuff that, you know, these other companies are working on and that they're excited about. I get to lock it all away in my brain, and eventually one day when it's all out, I can talk about it. So I just have to.
Mike was obsessive over the map they released.
Oh yeah.
I've never seen a man appreciate the finer details more than Mike on that map.
They had every single shop and like every single building was mapped out. I wait for their monthly drops.
I can understand that absolutely. Like, yeah, it to me it is details, and that's another thing is like, if you have the Edgerunners board or the core box game, and you put together your terrain, how deeply have you looked at the graffiti on the walls? Because there's a lot of little hidden gems on there. I mean, people ask about, you know, stuff coming down. I'm like, how? I mean, we hide stuff in our graffiti all the time. And it's those little fun tidbits that I just wonder how much of our monsters are looking at all this.
Because even the buildings, the ruins that people associate with cyberpunk, I think has Sixth Street graffiti on it.
It does.
Yeah.
It's like got a big eagle with the American flag on it. Which I guess if, because like obviously that gang, was it necessarily in the time of the Red, Mike?
Sixth Street? Yeah. Yeah, they were around the time of the Red. They came back a few years before that, or a few years before 2045, from Central America, and they were starting to pick up contracts.
Oh yeah. So I just, Go look at your terrain. That's all if you want to know things coming, just
secret
enjoy
terrain. Nice.
Yeah.
That's your secret to go find the little Easter eggs. What's the cyberpunk, a little weird Easter eggs that you have to go to the outside of buildings and stuff, you know? It's always cyberpunk.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. It makes it interesting. So obviously cyberpunk, probably there, other than terrain, I'm assuming probably one of your better selling things for Monster Hunter, I assume.
Oh, I mean, yeah, right now, Cyberpunk is the baby of the company. But I mean, we love all our IPs a lot, and we are so excited for the Borderlands 2 stuff that's going to be coming. So, you know, you can sign up now on Gamebound for that, but that's going to be a bit later this year, not like later, but anyway. I can hear them groaning now, being like, it's not later, Audrey. I'm like, well, you know, whatever.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Give it time. Just let it grow, man.
Yeah.
So, do you have a favorite gang or model for the Cyberpunk game?
I do. So, I absolutely love the Danger Gals. I'm actually sitting here in my kitty earphones recording this with you guys. But, and, you know, are they professional when I'm at work talking to CDPR? You know, probably not, but you know, I'm social media manager. I get to be weird and quirky, like, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, right. They would appreciate it too, I think.
Exactly.
You just say you're representing their brand, even when to them, you have to reinforce it. You got to make them walk the walk.
Right, exactly. No, I absolutely adore the Danger Gals. My other big fan favorite for me is Trauma Team. I play a lot of video games and stuff, and I'm always a healer class. So the healing team, I love them. I'm all about them. So I can't wait to really get in. I'm more of a painter. I have not played as many games as I should of Cyberpunk. I hate to admit it, but when I build my teams, it is Danger Gals and the Trauma Team. I combine them for ultimate healing.
Doc Mittens also just got an alternate model recently.
Yes. And she looks amazing. Really, yeah.
I have
to order mine. Oh, shame.
Shame. This summer, we get Trauma Team to be its own faction.
Yes. Yes.
And it only makes me more jealous. I love the Harmacist as much as the next person, but I'm a good meat wagon fan. I need my meat wagoners. I need that to be a gang at some point.
I heard.
is that a gang? Is that gang? REO meat wagon.
You gotta scribble it in yourself.
Now, for model, my favorite model would be the Lawman Police Sniper. I he's not part of either of my favorite gangs, but he is just his pose and that big ass gun. It's too cool for school. I'm all about him. He looks cool.
It's probably the longest rifle in the game.
Yeah, I think so. For now.
Maybe the Ronin Assassins might be just as long. Or not the Ronin Assassin, the Ronin Sniper.
Maybe. I guess because it's in a different angle, it might not. I don't know.
We can't chalk out the piranhas with what's his name?
Zuka Joe? The shooty shooty bang bang.
Chuckles?
Chuckles. He's got the biggest gun right now, right?
Well, I mean, we're not talking size, we're talking length.
Are we talking length or are we talking girth?
Yeah.
I would say that the Ronin sniper's, I'm looking at it right now, I think his sniper rifle might be just as big. It's just he's going across the chest, which makes it
the
volume. So it's
Probably.
It's not about the size. It's about how you use it, okay?
And yeah. He's a sniper. They're both snipers, so.
Yeah.
So as a person who enjoys Danger Gals, right, what do you think about the whole Arasaka subplot? Now, we're going to start talking lore. So with the Arasaka subplot of, I think it's pronounced Michiko, is that how you say it?
Michiko.
Michiko. Yeah, I'm not gonna ruin it, because, again, I'm a well-known
idiot when it comes to pronouncing things.
Do you think that her whole taking down Arasaka thing, which is obviously in 2077, so I'll read up a little bit. Are you guys able to make stuff for the game later that you think might be more story driven? Like, do you think at some point you could work with, and this is all speculation, do you think you could make scenario packs or like little story packs that focus on specific little subplots with maybe the Pondsmiths like A-OK or whatever, like they have like these little hidden stories that the player could play out? What do you think about that?
I can't, I am not liberty to say, unfortunately, about, you know, things that are in works or not in works.
So check the graffiti, guys. It's in the graffiti.
Yeah. You guys are going to overlap it at midnight underneath a black light and it'll be a message.
You got to do it on a blue moon, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, it's the time of the red, so wouldn't it be a blood moon?
Ooh. We just got a hint.
Yeah, there you go. See, we got it out of her, guys. Oh my god, Arachnids. Run, get it. Run and get the parade and just throw it around in the middle of the night. starts to glow. Well, that's good to know. Because I know, honestly, the one of the coolest advantages you guys have is that Talosaurian are, like, I don't know if I'm going to word this like a certain way. It's like they are a little bit more willing to do crazier things with their IP as opposed to like some of maybe the other miniature games where they're like, you need like the approval of Disney or whatever.
Right.
It's just like they're like this massive conglomerate that's like doing millions of different things, while it seems like the Cyberpunk brand is very much driven by the mind of the Pondsmith.
Oh yeah. Mike is still just always dropping amazing lore and making new canon, which I forget what it was. I think it was on Penny Arcade's Twitch stream of one of their episodes. And someone had asked like, oh, well, what is Adam Smasher listen to? And what's his favorite music? And Mike was just like, well, he likes country. And I was just floored. I was like, excuse me? Adam Smasher likes country? Okay, I could see that. He seems like a broody kind of guy. That
as resident lore master, what do you have anything to chime in on?
Our Talosaurian came out with a couple of radio stations that actually plays some of the missions from their packets, like the Danger Girl dossier. That's what I got.
That's awesome.
It's free to download from their website.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I did not see that section yet.
I demand a QR code for Adam Smasher's playlist.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like,
Spotify. You hear me?
Yes. Be like, oh, please, Mike, please curate a a playlist that Adam Smasher would totally listen to. Well, he's just, you know, chilling.
I also noticed that in your Discord, Mike Pondsmith just hangs out in the voice chat every once in a while, it looks like.
Oh, so he is in our Discord, and he, you know, he peruses through occasionally.
He jumped in John's hangout voice chat, I think, yesterday.
Oh, did he really?
Out there for like a few hours.
Oh my goodness. I must have missed it, which is really makes me sad. I love listening to Mike talk is just it's amazing. I don't know. There's no proper words for it. You just absorb all the lore, all the things he's saying, and you're like, yes, tell me more. Tell me more.
It's like having a founding father in the room.
Yeah.
It's just like hard to imagine.
Ugh. You're listening to like history basically, but like the coolest kind, because it's just
the fun history, not the bad stuff.
Yeah, that's what? Yeah.
There's no bad war. There's no bad history in Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
only good. All right, so here's another lore question: what do you think has happened to Black Camp? And this is official. Whatever you say, we'll put on the record. Go.
You stumped me because I don't know that one.
All right,
here we go.
I saw a video very recently. I sent it to Dr. D here that Mike Pondsmith said that Morgan Blackhand is alive in the Time of the Red. He's been traveling around Europe, the rest of the nation. He's been doing a bunch of side projects, and there's going to be a a bunch of stories coming out of what he's been doing. So we have that to look forward to. I'm not sure if it's going to be its own book or it's just going to be like a little compendium that's just put out there on the internet for people to find. But he is still alive in the time of the Red, as far as we know.
And I have it on good authority from the social media queen of Monster Fight Club. If you look at the graffiti on the buildings, it'll tell you where Morgan Blackhand has been.
Oh, my God. No, I did not say that.
It's official.
It gives you an address to a random building in Detroit, I think, and it has a QR code that you can scan.
I would absolutely love to find out a way to actually have one of those massive treasure hunts with our stuff and just send people places to get certain things to like unlock certain stuff. That would be a lot of fun.
What would it take for us to get John to just make Arasaka Tally be like a piece of training
box? Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think he's already thinking about that. So, I don't think that's a hard ask.
Okay, get to it. All right, Mike.
You gotta rally the community if that's what you want.
I'm saving up for the Metropolis 2.0 stretch goal Arasaka Tower.
Cost us $11,000.
I'm taking a mortgage out.
Right? No, it is tall. So, yeah.
Maybe on the time of the Red. It's a little bit shorter in the time of the Red. I think it's because it's a giant glowing crater.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. Oh, interesting. So, I didn't know Mike went into the Discord. So, you know what? There's a thing. If anybody listening to this, you should go to Monster Fight Club's Discord. It's a poppin' place.
It's great to lurk there.
The more you pay attention to it, the more chances you have of actually getting to shoot the shit with, you know, Mike Pondsmith or John. Or Mac.
Audrey.
I am always in there, and honestly, I should jump in the voice a bit more and talk to people.
I think just sitting in there hoping and praying that eventually a Max stack card is just going to appear. That's what I'm just waiting for. I'm just sitting there. I was like, okay. I just stare at it while I'm at work. Or, Dylan, you need to do this. I'm like, no. I'm doing something very important right now. I need
refreshing, refresh card. Constantly.
Just constantly hitting it. I need Max stack right now. Please.
Oh. Yeah, no, Max Tech is coming. Max Tech is coming, along with the Heracles and the bikes.
It's one of the factions that's on the faction page. So
sure is.
It's 100% coming.
Oh, yep.
All right, so here's another lore question, Audrey. My
lore really rests in the Danger Gals, but you can try me on some of these others.
What's your favorite Nomad family?
Yeah, I don't know the Nomads.
Yeah, I'm a deeper dive. What about you, Mike? What's your favorite Nomad family?
It's the one that's like took over Super Destroyer in the Gulf of Mexico and just has its own nation out there right now. Great question.
I'm going to have to look them up because that's awesome that they're out on a super carrier. Because, I mean, what do we have? We have a massive cargo ship.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That is an amazing piece of planet. That is for sale, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The STLs are for sale, but also just you can order a ship and we can make it. But yeah, it is long. It is big. It is, yeah.
If you've gone to cons, you've seen everyone. So at Adepticon, they did have it set up near the NCP area. Because I think they were using it for NCP.
Yes. So. Yeah. I think the shortest we've made it is 7 foot. So yeah.
It's like two tables in one.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Actually, it's not readily available on the internet. But yeah, that is, I do remember reading it. Definitely always fun to look at that thing. The cargo containers, obviously, that are making their way around a lot of game tables. You definitely see Monster.
Yep.
Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park with that one.
100%. And if you haven't got the forest mats are also like, if you flip them over, they're also like lakes and
bodies. Oh. Yeah, that's, I mean, again, back to terrain just briefly, is that the fact that everything's so versatile, you've got rivers and roads where it's rivers on one side, roads on the other. It's easily flat. It can wipe that stuff down. All our rocks. And so when sticky little hands come into the office and are touching it, I then take it all to the sink and I wash it. And then you just can. And it's great. And I love that, you know, the 7-year-olds that come in to our office can just pull stuff out of crates and play with it. And if they drop it on a concrete floor, it's not going to break. And it's just, it makes my job a lot easier because I'm clumsy too. And I'm not always breaking our stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal stuff. Yeah, I can't speak well enough of the brain that comes out of this company. So as a slight aside, we went to a DEF CON Fest where we met Audrey in person for the first time, obviously. She's fantastic. We got to hang out and we did some, I don't know, PR videos. Is that safe
to say? Yeah, we made little snippet videos that I can't wait to get out there. I'm definitely going to use them for all our conventions, because honestly, our racks don't change that much. So I am looking forward to using them, Dr. D. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And so if you want to see Dr. D make a fool of himself with the products that come out of that company, pay attention. It'll be coming out at some point. I don't want to say anytime soon, but hopefully soon, because you know, I want to show it to my parents and tell them that I am doing something with my life.
You made it.
Like, look at me.
I'm on the internet, Mom. Ha ha, take that.
Exactly.
So, absolutely phenomenal stuff. We got to hang out. Audrey's an absolutely incredible person. What I have learned, and she can substantiate this, is that Monster Fight Club, when we think of these companies, I think we foolishly tell ourselves that they're these massive conglomerates of like millions of people that are working all across the globe to make things for our entertainment and our game stores and in our living rooms and all that. Monster Fight Club is like six people.
a teensy bit more, but yeah, you're not wrong.
Six and a half people.
Yes. Yeah, no, we're under 20, but yeah, it's you met a large chunk of the team. You basically met all the people who are making your miniatures and packing them. Like, we do that in-house here in the United States.
All of them are super nice, and it does raise a thought to me that only recently, which we're not going to go into too much, but like the recent political situation, right, where it's made the whole concept of like we need things from other places on the planet, right? It really made me realize that the companies that are more homegrown, at least in America, right, like what a time for like a renaissance for them, because they are in a very kind of like unique position, right, where they could be like, hey, we make stuff in-house. There might be a really good opportunity for companies like that to really like flourish. Firewalk's another good example. And it's super exciting to know that a tiny little company with big dreams, because it sounds like John is a dream machine. I'm assuming that might be interposes himself as like a dream catcher.
You're not wrong.
And he just captures all these people's dreams and he's like, I want to make these things. And it's really cool to see a tiny, I don't say tiny, but because it's not even tiny. I think most companies are about that size, at least in the miniature world. It's really cool to see a homegrown American company get together, all super nice people, and be able to make this stuff for us. So I appreciate it. I would like to thank you personally.
I mean, I think the other thing is that just we're all passionate about what we're making. So there's not a person who doesn't put care and love into the stuff. You know, so we're trying.
When I go to the grocery store, which isn't very often, thankfully, but when I go to the grocery store, when I talk to the employees there, passion's not the word I would use. I think if I were to back up and accidentally run them over, they'd probably say, thank you. You've released me from the prison that is my job. It's so good to see people actually enjoy their jobs. And it's clear you guys have passion. And I can't speak well enough of you guys. So again, thank you very much, Mike. You're cool too, I guess.
Nice.
We really got to appreciate.
No, Mike is saving me with the lore. Like, I don't know all of it yet, and I will. Like, now I am more determined to learn some of the even these other things. But yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
At some point, I've had this idea. We're gonna have a lore episode where we have some people on and we do some quick fire cyberpunk trivia. That's gotta be like the 50th episode or something.
This is all fun and games till people actually listen to the episode and go, this guy does not know anything about the lore. This is all wrong.
And then they're going to be a big phony. You're just a big fat phony.
Aww.
So we're going to have to get John in here, and then we'll have Mike. We'll have to, you know what? Eventually we're going to have Mike himself come
call
on.
Call my
here.
Bluff.
And then have Mike Potsmith. Let's question you on all the things you've said over the years about this. There's a bunch of lore questions.
Actually, Mike, I think it's actually like this.
There's like these slidey glasses up.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, Mike. And you, oh my God, you can prove you're the superior Mike.
I can't do that. That's not going to happen at all. He knows Smasher's playlist.
That's true.
I can't compete with that.
He hasn't even shared it yet. That's not fair. That's insider trading, I think. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that might be insider.
Yeah, we'll contact the lawyer if I lose.
Well, yeah. Anything else that is coming out of Monster Fight Club in general that you think our listeners would absolutely love to hear? If it's a juicy thing you're not supposed to tell us, please. So.
Anything new for my gang?
Wait, what is her gang?
So Kara plays Tiger Claws.
Tiger Claws, okay. Well, I would say keep your eyes on the single shots because we are still putting out new old sculpts. So maybe not something new, but it's still new.
Interesting. I think I heard something about Oyabun getting an alternate or something. I think John said that.
He did.
So that is the thing. So there's supposedly an alternate sculpt Oyabun coming out at some point.
And others.
There you go.
Yes. So,
and I also like to point out, I love how affordable everything is. Even these one shots, I go through and I'm like, I'm having a bad day. You know what would really make me feel better? I'm gonna get a single model from Monster Fight Club.
just a little treat yourself moment. Yeah, you know, because you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it.
Exactly. And as somebody who also paints a lot, Audrey, I have to ask you. When you're painting them, the thing I appreciate them the most, and it sounds really weird, is kind of like the weird bulkiness that you get out of the models. I'm so used to models going super thin where like wrists pop off of
arms.
I really appreciate the scale of the Monster Fight game.
Yes.
It's so much more fun to paint in a lot of ways.
I agree. And I love all the little, our sculptor is just amazing. Both of them. They put so much detail, but still make it so that it's visible and can be seen. And honestly, that with all our new ways of making the models now, it's just, they're looking so crisp and they're so much fun to paint. And like putting little tattoos on them and stuff and painting that kind of those intricate little bits. But the fact that there's like rips in their jeans, or, you know, sometimes we have to catch, you know, him trying to put the misfit skull on one, you know, like he'll and you're like, now you can't do that, man. So it's like, they'll like, you know, change up what's, you know, on their clothing and everything. But yeah, no, I agree. The slightly enlarged wrists or things like that, so that your models aren't cracking and breaking. I agree. It's
many of them are one piece, so you just take them out of the box, put them on a base, and play it.
So yes, you're not wrong. A lot of them are. Some even have head swaps. It's a surprise every time you open a box.
And I will say, I've played a lot of model games, and I've played a lot of games when they first come out, and then years later. I know something that has come up is people say the starter box models are a certain, at least at the beginning, it might have changed now, since production's changed. But they were a little like too bendy, and it had, like the PVC recipe, I don't know if that's the right word, the PVC recipe hadn't been quite honed in. as someone who has been getting stuff right, kind of like throughout the whole process of this game existing, it has improved significantly.
Right.
So if you have tried their original starter box models and you were like, I'm not a huge fan of this material, I would say give it another shot because a lot of their new stuff is significantly better.
Yes.
And I always give companies the benefit of the doubt, especially with the beginning starters, because they're always like usually the roughest and the worst sculpts or whatever, because they're just learning the material. So they've improved significantly. If you're listening to this and you want to give the game another shot, I would say try again now. They've worked out a lot of those kinks.
And their customer service is top tier when it comes to having a bad model.
Yeah, the ladies are just, they are two megastars in the company, and they listen to all of you. So be kind when writing in. We know it really sucks to have something wrong, but, you know, we're doing our best.
As a lady that works in the company, I have a very important question.
Mm.
Okay. Now, you work with this, the only word I could use to describe him is a walking functional hobo. His name is Mac. I'm not sure if you ever heard of him. Without your guys' help, how many pencils do you think he could fit into his nose?
Oh, that's a good question. So we get to only view him through the magical box of our screens, as he does not work in the office with us. He might be able to cram, you know, six. Now, that's not per nostril. That's total. So three per nostril, I guess.
I thought I was going to be impressed for a second, but nope. Right down to the discipline.
That doesn't break our numbers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, but you said without our help.
That's true. Okay. With your help, maybe you can get all six of those single
nostrils. Oh, yeah.
That's a good working, atmosphere, I gotta say. you can't just crush people's dreams. Make their memes true dreams. All right, Miss Audrey, anything else you want to talk about before we start to wrap this up?
No, this has been so much fun, and thank you. But be nice to Mac. He's a sweetheart.
I love Mac. Whoa. You were there at the Adepticon event, and you heard how he talks to me.
I know, but you did amazing against Crabbox, so...
And get this, as an Arachne exclusive, I played against the winner of the Adepticon event, and then he tried to gaslight me, telling me that he got like second. I was like, no, I lost to the winner. He's like, no, the Bozos won. He's like, no, the guy playing on Arasaka won. Like, you know what? He tried to gaslight me, and he made me, you know what, the eye water, or whatever it is that people call that. You know what? I think
Brian. Honestly,
I asked Mac every week to play games. Oh. So.
Yeah. And he's not played. I don't think he's actually played a game of Cyberpunk with us. I think he's mostly just there judging it.
Yeah.
Shame. Oh, I will talk to him. Be like, Mac, stop that. Just play the game with the guys.
Yeah, he's a very big proponent of the game. Obviously, as one of the head rules guys, right, he's definitely very knowledgeable of the rules. And it's kind of funny watching him slip up because he's like, oh, I don't know what version of the rule exists right now.
He's got some stuff going on.
It's very funny.
I could not imagine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could not imagine trying to keep all the different rule sets for all the different games in his head the way he does. No way.
He's very good. We're making fun of him, but yeah, he's a great guy. He works very hard.
Yes. Hard. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mike, you got any last questions?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to have that tournament in Nova?
Ooh, so we are waiting to hear back. But yes, we do hope to have a tournament at the Nova Open. So stay tuned to see if we get a spot, because we're going to definitely have awesome prizes. There will be another Golden Beast to be won. If we get to have a tournament on our home turf, you know, we're going to make sure we do it up big.
And for the record,
I'll be there for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say we will be at Nova.
So awesome.
That would be great if we got a chance to play.
And I mean, we will, if we get a space at, Gen Con, we will try there as well. So yeah, definitely. If you haven't gotten to hit up one of our tournaments, I highly recommend it. It's fun. I mean, every player that I met at our previous tournament was just phenomenal. I mean, we had new players, but it didn't matter. Everyone was having a good time. Everyone was helping each other. It's a fun atmosphere. So it is.
There was a guy there with a really well-painted crew, I hear.
I mean, two well-painted groups. you made it tricky to judge.
You stacked the odds again.
I didn't even think there was going to be a best painted. So when I gave.
Yeah, I snuck that in.
Yeah, so okay. So you see, I wasn't even playing the system. I was just like wah 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 wah, and I stumbled into it. Like an idiot.
But next tournament, he's bringing 12 armies.
Yeah, I'm bringing all. Yeah. So every single thing on the field, it's going to be me. I painted. Oh.
It was hard to judge. I mean, people just really, you could tell there was a lot of love in everyone's models, and
the guy that got second, the Bozo gang, especially, I was like, wow, I love the color palette. It was great.
Yes, beautiful job. I mean, and not only him, there was another guy that did this like pastel wash over everything. And it was just incredible. So, yeah, kudos to everyone who was there. You all did amazing.
So, is there going to be a best painted at Nova if you go to Nova?
I hope so. Okay, and I think this way, like, I will definitely try and figure out a better way of getting everyone's stuff right away to picture of who you are with your gang. Because afterwards, trying to match them up to whose picture I took with what was a little tricky.
It was fun to see the learning. You could tell, like, you learned like certain lessons going through.
Yes. I really Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Guys, I think we talked about it. I think, you know what? I'm just going to call this episode, we're just gal pal. We're just gal pal and talking about stuff.
Darn right. Guys.
And yes, Audrey, thank you very, very much for coming on. I know that.
Thank you, Audrey.
You are paid by the hour. So I know you didn't have to come on here to talk about this stuff with us, but you did because of a passion. So I really do appreciate that. And I hope that what we do helps your company succeed. I really have an investment in seeing that company.
Well, thank you. No, having amazing players and fans like you guys, it's what makes my job fun. So I really do enjoy getting on and seeing what you guys are talking about. This is what I do my job for. So thank you.
So guys, I think we gal pal. Obviously, if you want to see this game succeed, one of the best ways you can do it is to promote Monster Fight Club, promote Arachne, get people excited about the game. We really appreciate it if you can give us a 5-star review. That is a very, very good way to help people find the podcast, especially since there are not a ton of podcasts about Cyberpunk Combat Zone, but there is another one, from what I understand. There is another one. If you want to give a quick shout out, Mike, I forgot what they were called.
Give me 1 second, and I will.
We don't have that kind of time.
Oh, no.
Audrey's not paid by the hour.
Oh, no.
I'll put more money into the Kickstarter, I swear. I got to find the media. Where's the media Discord tab? I'm panicking.
It's okay.
All right.
We're just gonna wait it out. So while he's doing that, what haven't you painted yet? Is there a gang you haven't painted yet?
All you saw the two gangs that I essentially have painted.
Okay.
Hopefully those will be done for maybe Nova. I'm not sure what he's gonna play. Okay. I am currently about to work on the firm.
Ooh, nice.
But the dream is to play Law Dogs, but I don't know. I just can't get like a strategy that works for the old stuff. I'm really hoping Max that just makes it sync.
Yeah. Okay.
What is it?
All right. So the other podcast is called Edge Protocol, a cyberpunk combat zone podcast.
So yeah, go and let's give them a listen. I haven't listened to them myself, but tell them that we sent you. We want, like I said, we want this community to grow. So do everything you can to help out. And yeah. For a little bit. Yeah, so if you can give that us a review, that'd be really, I would really appreciate it, especially with the Apple reviews and the Google version, which I think is now YouTube. I don't exactly remember exactly which YouTube, the way that we're going to see the whole thing. But yeah, if you give us any kind of review, that would really, really be helpful, and I really, really appreciate it. And if you want to reach out and talk to us, you can find me, Dr. D, dr.d, on Discord, or you can email me at furypainting@gmail.com. Mike, where can they find you?
I'm Inventor of Soup on Discord and inventorofsoup@gmail.com for email.
And what about you, Audrey? Do you want people to reach out to you?
No.
There you go.
You could reach out to me on Discord at MFC Audrey. So yeah, you can always find me there.
She responds fairly quickly. So expect a response within the day. She's probably working like a big nerd. And of course, we would like.
I never sleep.
We would also like to thank all the people in the background that help to keep the podcast running. Kara for helping edit it and yell random comments in the background whenever I'm talking to people, and Tim for running the network. So thanks for listening, Chumbadas, whichever area you want to go. And never forget, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees. Bye.
Bye.
Dr. D and Soup, taking it to the streets. Fast dice, fast talk, you can't compete. On the mic, we elite. Professional, but never casual. Slinging facts, making it tactical. Infinity's wild, unpredictable. The rhythm's unstoppable.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network.